Can you remember the first sin that you ever committed that you tried to cover up? I can. I'm going to tell you about it. Don't judge me. I was very young. I think probably at least less than 4 and probably 3. I hated napping. But my mother always made me take a nap. And the reason she always made me take a nap is because she loved napping. And it was her excuse to get a nap. And so she would tell me if I came out of my room, I'd be in trouble. I hated being in trouble, so I didn't go out of my room because trouble meant pain. But I'm there napping, or waiting for her to nap so I could leave the room so she didn't know. And I had this sense come over me. And it was kind of a new life lesson for me. It was called passing through the potty training and really passing, such that I was wearing my big boy pants, no longer a diaper, and the big boy pants weren't able to contain what I needed to do. You know what I'm talking about? So I'm at this impasse in my little life thinking, if I go out there, it means pain. If I stay in here, it's going to be messy. If I go out there, pain, stay in here, messy, go out there, pain. So I thought, what will I do? So I realized that when the door opened, it was usually left open. It was only shut when I was in there. There created a kind of a, let's just call it a window of opportunity in the corner. And so I took my little self over and pulled down my big boy pants and left a little pile in the corner of the room. And I examined to see if it would truly work. Opened the door, thought, yep, it's all good. Shut the door, laid down long enough to think that my mom probably had fallen asleep by this time, and then exited the room, went on with my little day. And I thought I had really got by with something. How long do you think it was before my mom discovered the gift that I had left in the room? And then imagine me trying to deny that I had done that. We did not have a dog in the house. It was my room, right? My brother and sister were gone to preschool, and it was just even that afternoon, because what I did not only filled my room with stench, filled the hall with stench, filled our house with stench. And I remember the panic that I had as I thought, my mom's going to find it. She's going to find it. And then I'm still going to experience the pain. You remember your first time you tried to cover your sin? When I got older, I remember my parents buying me a Crossman pump BB gun. Now, this won't mean anything to you girls unless you're real rednecks, and we can talk later, but yeah. My other friend had a Daisy, and we had this rule that you could only pump it once if you're going to shoot each other. I always pumped it 3 times. He was a baby. But we decided to see whose gun was more powerful, so we went down to the woods behind the house, and we crawled up on the bank of the neighbor's house because they had this huge sliding glass door. And so we remember laying in the army prone position, and I took my Crossman, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Didn't break. Thought, crap. He took his Daisy, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I got up to 15. He got up to 15. On 11, the dogs came to the door, but they were little dogs. We were having a great time. But between my 15 that didn't break the glass and his, we discovered that the owner of the home was not at work. And so they opened the window and yelled at us. We probably were 10 or 11. And then we thought, we're gonna die. So we ran down into the woods, you know, and I was yelling at Trey. He was yelling at me, what are we gonna do? She's gonna get out the hounds. And sure enough, she got out the dogs and we jumped down into the creek. Like Rambo. You remember that movie? We were curled up under the bank, down in the creek, you know, with our guns underwater. That's not good for a gun. And our hearts were pounding, and we thought, these dogs are gonna kill us, this woman's gonna kill us. If she does catch us, she's gonna tell her parents. If she doesn't kill us, they will kill us. And then you know what happens when you get home and you don't get caught? Every time the phone rang, I thought, I'm going to jail. You know what I'm saying? But in time, it goes away. And you get older. And you stop pooping behind the door. And you stop shooting BBs at stained glass windows. And you start doing things that matter, that you're embarrassed about, that are wrong, that hurt. And you do the same thing that you always do. Instead of apologizing and confessing and exposing yourself, what do? We cover it up and hope that no one ever finds out. Proverbs says, when we cover our sin, we will not prosper. But when we confess it and forsake it, we will find mercy. My dad always says this, families dysfunction over secrets. David said, forgive me my sins, especially my secret sins. And whatever you pull into the dark, let me let you know, Satan is nocturnal and you are not. And Proverbs says, when we walk in the way of the dark, we don't even know where we're going and we'll be destroyed in that context. I want to read to you Psalm 32, and tonight we're going to be talking about confession, and it's nothing new, but I hope that rather than just knowing what we should do, hopefully tonight that some of you will gain the strength and the power and the courage to actually confess your sin, and you will find and discover what David discovered, and you will be more free than you've ever been in all of your life when it comes to your faith. David writes in Psalm 32, he says, blessed is the one whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent about my sin, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer. But then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Don't be like a horse or the mule, without understanding, which must be curbed by a bit or a bridle, or it won't stay near you. Many of the sorrows of the wicked that the steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. You want to know the number one reason why people feel guilty?
Well, yes, I do.
Okay. They are. And if we don't deal with the guilt of our sin, it weighs our soul down. You know what happens to a seed when you bury it in the dirt? It puts out roots. And if you bury it deep enough, it puts out deep roots. And if you bury an acorn, guess what? It grows into an oak. And if you don't deal with it, guess what? It grows into an oak tree. And before you know it, it has consumed your yard. And that's the way sin is in your soul. If you don't confess it and get it out, you bury it, you cover it, you prosper it, and it will bear fruit. I had learned to cover my sin a lot. For those of you who heard of Iowa City last night, you heard the story of my dad. He had a horrible dad, and he gave his life to Jesus when he was 14 years old. He became a pastor when he was 16 years old, and went to seminary, got married, had me. And when he had me, I was his third child, and he so wanted to be different than his dad. He wanted us to be just, I don't know, like Jesus. And so he thought the way to do that was to put a whole bunch of legalistic structures around us. And we read the Bible all the time, morning, noon, and night. And we memorized scripture all the time, morning, noon, and night. And we didn't have a television. We couldn't dance. You guys are going to get to dance. We couldn't listen to secular music, you know. We couldn't swear, you know. I'm glad he let me play sports. And so I grew up resenting God. And I knew one thing I didn't want to be, a pastor. And I knew one person I didn't want to be in relationship, Jesus. You know why? Because what I really loved to do was sin. And when I thought I would be around Jesus and I had sin, I would just feel guilty all the time. Because that's the way I felt around my parents all the time. I couldn't look them in the eye. I couldn't ever tell them the truth. And so I became incredibly duplicitous. But I didn't want to get in trouble. You remember, I like to avoid pain. I would rather crap on my floor than experience the pain of getting troubled by the parents. And so I became great at lying to my parents and being one thing in one context and another thing in another context. Any of you ever done that? It's called hypocrisy. It's called duplicity. It's called sin. And as my life ventured on and I pursued all of the things that an unbeliever pursues with all of my heart, and the guilt of that sin and coming into that environment, and even when my parents changed their legalism, I was just too far gone. And between my junior and senior year in high school, guess what happened to me? Any guesses? You're right, I got arrested. That's a bad thing when you're a pastor's son. And here's the crazy thing. My mom is weird. And I'm saying that in a good way. Before she went to bed, she told my dad, I have this feeling Troy's going to get in trouble tonight. And so that was in the day when the phone was hooked to the wall and it had cords. And so she grabbed the phone and she moved it up closer to her room so if it rang, she would be able to answer it. And here's what happened. She unplugged the phone from the wall. And so when me and my buddies got arrested, guess who wasn't able to get a hold of their parents? So here I am, 17 years old, Spirit Lake, Iowa, Okoboji, just came back from a Head East concert, Arnold's Park. Some of you guys know about that place. Now I'm in jail. My parents won't answer the phone. And I'm about to have a come to Jesus moment. Because here's what I know. If I don't repent, the one guy that I knew that truly loved and followed Jesus with his whole heart would quit his job. Because my dad knew the verse. Any man who can't manage his own household should never be a man who's leading the church. And now his youngest son is in jail, about to embarrass him to no end. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And so I knew he would quit. And so guess what I decided to do? I decided to cry out to Jesus. Can you imagine that? You know what my brother said to my dad? Please don't kill him. When my brother asked me, have you ever done anything like that before? Here's what I told my brother in the backseat of the car as I was profusely sweating. I said, it was my first time. It was my first time. Cover it. Cover it. But by the time I got home and by the time my dad took me from the house to his office where we were going to have a sit-down, come to Jesus moment, I was able to do something that I had never, ever done that I could ever remember in my whole life. I decided to confess my sins. And I thought, the crap has hit the fan. It doesn't matter now. I'm in jail. I've been caught. I had stuff on me. I am going for broke. So for about 3 hours, I confessed my sins to my dad, and I began to weep, and I began to cry, and I began to experience something I had never felt before. The guilt of my sin, like David said, it began to be removed from my back. Then a crazy thing happened. My dad said, well, son, I want you to confess this to the whole church. It's one thing to confess your sin to a priest. It's another thing to confess your sin to the whole church. The next morning before the church, he said, hey, guys, you almost lost your pastor this weekend. And I want you to come back. We had night church, too. I want you to come back tonight so you can find out how. We had more people at Sunday night church than we did at Sunday morning church. And so I had to get up. My dad gave a little steel speech. And by the way, I think this was a really bad idea. But I did it. And I stood holding the pulpit for the first time in my life, ever standing in front of a congregation. And I confessed my sins to the whole group. It was one of the best days of my life. I was only 17, and I was carrying so much weight. And I discovered the truth of 1 John. And I want to read it to you. Chapter 1, verse 5. John writes, this is the message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then listen to this verse, this beautiful verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And if we don't confess our sins, it's going to kill us. So you say, okay, I've done that. I remember when I did it. In fact, I'm thinking about doing it right now again. Okay, I'm going to do it right now again. Here we go. God, forgive me of all my sins. Amen. You feel better? Why do we confess our sins to God anyway? If God is light and in him there is no darkness, he saw me poop behind the door. He knew I did it. My daughter Rachel, you know, parents have poisonous plants in their house. At least parents when I was a parent did, you know. I'm still a parent, but my kids are old. So we had poisonous plants in the house, so we had to teach our kids not to touch the plants. And you know what kids are like. They're sinful. And if you think people aren't just naturally bad, it's because you've never had kids, right? I mean, you don't train kids to be bad. They are. You have to train them to be good. You want them to do something, tell them to not do it, okay? So that's just a little free nugget. Anyway, so we told Rachel, don't touch the plants. You touch the plants, it's going to be pain, because that's the way you train kids. That's the way I was trained. That's the way kids are supposed to be trained. So one day I come into the living room, and she had ripped the curtain around her little body because the plant was right there, and then she reached her arms around the curtain, and she was just fondling that plant. Like there was something erotic going on, man. I could see her swaying and fondling and swaying and fondling. And I thought, I can see you. And didn't David say about God, where can I go from your presence? If I go to the mountaintops, you're there. If I go to the bottom of the sea, you're there. If I shut off the lights, you see in the dark. If I turn them on, you made the light. You know my breath before I even had one. You know my goings out and my comings in. You know my last breath and the very first one I taught. So why do we confess our sins to God? He sees. It's not for him. It's for you. You know what confession is? Confession is agreeing with God about the truth about us. You know when we cover our sin? We don't want people to know the truth about us. We want to present ourselves as something other than we are. Have you ever read what Jesus said to the hypocrites? The scribes and the Pharisees and religious leaders in Luke chapter 12, well, maybe you haven't, but I'm going to read it to you. Jesus gathered a big old crowd. That's what he was doing all the time. And then he said to his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. It's hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or nothing is hidden that will not be made known. Therefore, whatever you said in the dark shall be heard in the light. And what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. I tell you, friends, don't fear those who kill the body and after that can do nothing more. But I warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed you, has the authority to cast you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, you're more valuable than many sparrows. He's saying, don't be like the Pharisees. They present themselves in one way, but in fact, there's something completely different. There's a great verse in James, James chapter 5. Is it like crazy hot in here? Whew, I need a nap. It's so hot. Can we open like doors or something? Would that help? Whew. Could you breathe better? I mean, you would hate for an old man to pass out while he's trying to teach the Bible, right? You'd be bad. I only got one more point to make. Okay, good. Is that door to the outside? No. Try to open that window. That door there. I'm serious. We don't want to die. That'd be bad. So I'll tell you something. Does that feel good? Oh my gosh. I'll tell you guys one story while we're cooling down a little bit. You remember we're talking about confession. Okay, so I was at a retreat. I was a young guy. And I was talking about Samson. You guys know him? The hippie strong man in the Bible. And I was getting pretty intense. And it's a big old retreat, 15, 20 students. And so I said, do you want to know what I think Samson looked like? And they're, you know, it's just a semicircle. And you want to know? And they thought, well, I don't know. He's scaring us. And I said, well, I can tell you what Samson looked like. And I just pulled off my shirt. And and hey, when I was younger, I didn't look a whole lot better either. You know, it was like all this was going on then too. And I was serious because I said, you know, if Samson would look like some stud, everybody would have expected him to beat the crap out of everything, right? But if he looked like me, if I beat you up, yeah, you know, you know something has come over me. And if I can beat all y'all up, right? That's pretty supernatural stuff there. Anyway, so, whew, I feel good. We're cooling down. So, we're talking about confession. And I want to tell you what I learned. James said something in James chapter 5. Confess your sins one to another, and you'll be healed. Any of you grow up Catholic? All right, they have a great practice. It's called confessional. And they picked up from this principle in Scripture that there's power in confessing our sins one to another. Not so that God knows what we're doing. We confess our sins to God and He forgives us and He has mercy. But so that we begin to tell the truth about the reality of our sin. Because if we bury our sin and cover it, here's what's going to happen. You're going to sin more and you're going to sin more and you're going to sin worse and you're going to sin worse. And that one sin that you said you would never do, you're going to end up doing. And then you're going to do just like you do all the sins that you said you'd never do that you did already. You're going to cover it and hide it and bury it. And what's going to happen? You're going to get worse and worse and worse. Before you know it, you'll be just like the Pharisees. On the outside, they present themselves one way, and on the inside, they're rotting death. You know what I've discovered? If you confess your sins, not only God will forgive you, people will. And you know what else I discovered? If you begin to have a habit of confessing your sins to God and confessing your sins to other people, you begin to lie less and tell the truth more. And people begin to think that you're authentic. And you don't have to have that good a memory because you don't have to cover sin anymore. You just confess it and forsake it. And a woman in my office, I want to close with this story. I shared the importance of confessing sin. And she came to my office and him and Hod, and I could kind of tell she wanted to confess something. And so I just said to her, I said, do you want to confess some sin to me? And she started crying. Then I knew she did. And this beautiful young woman began to pour out her heart to me. How she had been a mistress to her youth pastor for 9.5 years. I had another man come to my office and he could tell there was something heavy on him, and it's become a habit of mine. I say, hey, you need to confess some sin to me. He started crying, so I knew the answer was yes, so I waited. And he shared with me how he had been tempted and had desire and had actually had sex with another man. I had another man come to my office, and I could do 30 years of these stories. But he came to my office with a parole officer because he had to. And as a registered sex offender, I had to counsel with him while I'm in there with the parole officer. And I said, do you want to confess some sin to me? He began to cry, so I knew he did. See, because in jail he gave his life to Jesus. And he sat in my office and he shared with me how he'd molested his own daughter. And with the girl, and with the guy, and with the sex offender. You know what I did? I said, you're freaking killing me! Get out of my office! You freak! Sinner! Gross! Isn't that what you would have done? No! I didn't do that. I would be such a bad pastor if I did that. You know what I did? When they finished, I got up out of my chair. I walked across my room. In every case, I was bawling. Threw my arms around them, and I told them, I love you. You're forgiven. And from this point forward, I'm not going to know you for what you've done. I'm going to know you for who you're becoming in Christ. Jesus changes everything. You know what? Here's what's funny. People left our church because I love this guy. Great. Get out. You know who Jesus was? A friend of sinners. You know why? That's the only kind of friends you can have. You know who he wasn't friends with? Pretenders. And the only way you get away from it is to confess it. And the only way you can keep yourself from that line, you remember I told you that the guy who raped my wife, you know what he told me? I'm so glad that I didn't kill her. Because that was his line. That's what he wanted to do. And wherever your line is, let me tell you, Satan wants to push it and push it and push it until you won't ever be able to tell anybody the truth. And it can end today. Because Jesus saw everything that you have ever done. From the first thing you deposited behind the door to what you did last night, to what you did when you weren't even fully aware of what you were doing, but you know what you did. And when you come to him, he will forgive you. And here's the way that you'll find healing. When you come to his body, the church, and you confess that sin. You remember the 9.5-year mistress? Guess what? Youth pastor was pissed at me. Had the guts to call me up because he was still tracking her down. He ended up getting arrested. Isn't that cool? Man, I was talking to him on the phone, screaming at him, swearing. It was the funnest thing I ever did. I said, come over to my house. I was talking like a big guy. He had never seen me before. He had talked his wife into letting it be okay because she didn't like to have sex with him. Why would you want to have sex with a creep like that, right? The Sunday after I had that conversation with the guy that I was going to pick a fight with, that I was swearing with on the phone, that I was feeling like all big time, the woman walked up to the front of the church. She walked up to my wife, gave her a huge hug, and thanked her. She said, I've never had a man care about me or love me. Thank you. I thought, I'm standing right here. And she's become such a beautiful expression of God's grace in our church. Confess your sins one to another. Here's what you'll discover. You'll be healed. You can talk to your parents again. Look them in the eyes. No secrets. You can get forgiveness. It doesn't matter what you've done. Other people have done it. Paul told the Corinthians, such were some of you, but you've been washed. You've been changed by the glory of God's grace. Please, please begin this process. When you're young, let me pray for you. God, we struggle with that desire to be liked by people. And we're afraid that we're going to be rejected. We're embarrassed by our sin. And the enemy has captured the guilt that we feel in our conscience because of your Holy Spirit, and he's pulverized us with it. But you've given us the open door. All we need to do is say, yes, I did it. I sinned. Me, in need of grace. And you promise that you'll forgive us. You died. You shed your perfect blood so we could find forgiveness. And we often don't feel it, because we still know that we have so many secrets, and we think that if people knew, they'd reject us. And some will, but you won't. And those who walk with you won't. And that's the group I want to be a part of, God, because I still sin. And the day I cover my sin is the day that we lose our relationship. Because you say, if we walk in the light as you are in the light, that's when we have real fellowship with you. And I can't live without hearing your voice. I can't live without being convicted of my sin. And I want to still confess every sin to you and every sin to anybody. Because we need a witness in this culture of truth and integrity, not sinlessness. You did that, but forgiven sinners. Help us to confess, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.